Hello, hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Podcast Report. I'm your host, Nicholas Lorimer, once again joined by Viv Vermark, feral philosopher, journalist, and public speaker. Viv, what have you got on the agenda for us today in your survey of the podcast landscape?
How's it, Nicholas? Thanks for inviting me back. So what I've been doing with these podcast reports for the Daily French show is just to sample a view of the general view of South Africans left, right, and center. Because my contribution, just as an individual, and let's say as a philosopher and a journalist, is just so we can understand each other better. That's where I think I can make a contribution. I don't have political skills or social commentary skills, but I can think and I can write. And what I've come to notice is that we often don't understand what each others are saying. Never mind agree or disagree. We don't understand each other. So the EFF might say we're economic freedom fighters, and the Free Market Foundation might say we stand for free markets, and they both use the word free, but they mean completely different things. So it's my mission and my contribution to this country to just deconstruct ourselves to each other. And so I've been doing these podcast reports, and because it's the end of this year, this podcast is focused on good vibes and good hope messages from across the spectrum. I sampled a few podcasts, and this is what they said.
Well, that sounds very good. I think, it's been a long year, as the years these days always seem to be. And I look very much forward to see what you have to tell us today about the good vibes out there in the ether.
And, of course, I will ask you for the Daily French's own good vibes afterwards.
Sure thing. Take it away.
Thank you. Okay, so my position is I start from the position of being an old school liberal. So I approach the universe in South Africa with tolerance, the capacity for complexity, and the courage to make complicated compromises. And with social media gaining traction as a news source and somewhat legitimate news source, and the traditional media losing its ground as that central gatekeeper of opinion, we are now blessed with a lot of podcasters and influencers who are offering us views as colorful as the rainbow and as explosive as a Gauteng thunderstorm. And while regularly reviewing this podcast for the Daily Friend, what I've come to notice is that we agree as much with each other as we disagree with each other. So when sampling these good vibes or positive news for South Africa, which are sampled across left, right, and center, you'll see how often we agree on the most important things. So the first stop was John Endres, the CEO of the Institute for Race Relations, who is often on this show, the Daily French show. He was interviewed by Dr. Mbuyiseni Ndlozi for the African Renaissance podcast, and that is a project of the Thabo Mbeki Foundation. Now, Mbuyiseni Ndlozi is somebody you might remember as that incendiary EFF politician in the Red Beret disrupting parliament in opposition to the ANC. So to see him now in this role as a podcast host is quite startling, because this man is very impressive as a thinker and as a host. He's very calculated, clearly well-educated. In fact, at some stage he said to John, "I think I have the literary advantage here." And John conceded. He is educated in the history of economics and very clear on why he comes at it from what we would call a more communistic or socialist background. So in this interview, which was handled with extraordinary dignity and professionalism, you could see the clash between communism and free market capitalism and the respect both men showed each other. Afterwards, John came on the show with Nicholas, and he said to us, and he encouraged all of us, to expose ourselves to a lot of different viewpoints and to avoid echo chambers, which I think is great guidance for all of us. The Thabo Mbeki Foundation is very hopeful for South Africa, and they want to be a part of it. So they're very active, and they aim to bring about an African rebirth by supporting platforms for dialogue and reflection. And I think that for all of us could be a good goal. I'm quoting John now, his message for South Africa. He remains encouraged that South Africa can transform itself, but through rapid economic growth, not through wealth distribution the way that maybe guys like Mbuyiseni Ndlozi wants it. He says, it simply means that the government takes the brakes off the economy. If the ANC switches to a light-touch regulatory framework, we should be well on our way. John Endres' greatest wish for South Africa in 2026 is that we lift our eyes to the stars, that we recognize South Africa's enormous potential and understand how close we are to unlocking it. So that's a very hopeful message. Now, John, if you were a marketer and you were planning an advertising campaign, you would fit the demographic of a middle-aged white male in the upper Alice M's, your classic older white liberal. I wouldn't go so far as to say gin-soaked old colonial, but it's an entertaining image to contrast with Summer Sambit, who is the opposite, young, black, barely 21, and squarely conservative. He's on the conservative side of the spectrum. He calls himself a realist, and he's also a rising social commentator. He has a YouTube channel where he spreads his social and political views that has 60,000 subscribers, which is more than the IRR and TMF combined. One man, one voice, one cell phone. So that is the shifting nature of our digital landscape and the influence you can have just by raising your voice. Now, to him, the constant hammering on apartheid and history has no meaning for him or relevance because he's young. He can't remember it. He says, listen, I was born before load shedding in a prosperous country. What happened to it? The ANC destroyed it. So we must fix it. So he has that fire of a young man unburdened by history. He says we must start by getting rid of corruption and making some policy changes. And he's very active in doing that. He started a foundation and a trust and an activity where he teaches young people business skills and entrepreneurship skills. He doesn't like the word jobs and working. He says, I don't want to see a nation of workers. I want to see a nation of free thinkers and entrepreneurs. So that's Summer Sambit's vibe, as opposed to the older views of Endres and Ndlozi. The Rational Standard, they're one of the voices in a centrist, center-right podcast space that's very crowded. So if you fit into that political general arena, you're well served. And the Rational Standard, they have an openly libertarian bent, which is unspecialized little philosophy. And that podcast, to me, can be very technical because they have lawyers on there, people who are constitutional experts, have a lot of legal expertise. So sometimes the terminology can be challenging, but not when they call the government dim-witted. Then technical terms are not needed. Martin van Staden, he's the head of policy at the Free Market Foundation. He says there's hope for South Africa. So they're also positive. What he says is, though, that more citizens must take responsibility for themselves. And this is where you see the difference between how people talk about freedom. So when some people say freedom, they mean responsibility. When other people say freedom, they mean the state must take responsibility. So what von Staden says is, what remains is for South Africans to stop seeing the boundaries of formal politics as the extent of what is possible. The extent to which you can liberate yourself from poverty and anxiety is directly linked to the extent to which you can stop caring about whether the political elite approves of your plans or not. Now, that's a complicated statement, but he's saying that each individual can free themselves from poverty and anxiety if they take full control of their future and separate them from the reliance on the state. I think it's a great view, but not a practical view if you don't have resource or agency, which is much mental as financial as cultural. So poor people are going to struggle with that, or people who don't have a sense of that responsibility of freedom, like the car guard I bumped into and interviewed for this report. So in every podcast report, I include a random sample of ordinary South Africans I bump into while writing it, and I ask them exactly the same question I ask of the privileged and the prestigious. And in this case, does he have a message for South Africa? Does he have good vibes? How does he see the future? And this car guard had no good vibes. He said, and he was smoking a stompy and knaping the stompy and talking to me with a mouth that had very few teeth. And he said, this country is dirty. This country is filthy from Tsotsis running this place. And the biggest Tsotsis are the ones in parliament, and Ramaphosa is Tsotsi number one. So that was his feelings. I said to him, what can we do about it? Is there anything we can do? And he just said, what must I do? What can I do? I'm the lowest of the low in society. I can't do anything. And I suggested what we all can do is we can vote them out. Look, it didn't inspire him with any positivity or hope, and I understand why. And he just shook his head, and he thought it was over. This country was over, and he shuffled his feet. And as I looked at his feet, I noticed that his shoes had no laces, but that the words he spoke about the same principles as many other commentators mentioned. He just used slightly different words. So I have more capacity than the poor card God, but I don't have Sama Sambit's fire and energy and ambition. So I'm going to conclude a message that fits well with me into the new year with Franz Cournier of the Social Research Foundation and the Common Sense. He's an analyst and scenario planner. So he's as comfortable with striding history as the future. And he often comes at it from a big picture insight that I find very helpful. He was speaking on the State of the Nation podcast, and he reminds all of us that we have come from a spectacular history of great successes and that we have much to be celebrated, and how quickly we achieved a peaceful democracy. And in the first 15 years of the new government and dispensation, how well we did in transferring wealth, jobs, education, school, infrastructure. And we have all of that going for us. And while the GNU, which is a remarkably new thing on the political landscape, has problems, it still holds. And these are good things. He says, when he speaks to the people of KZN, because he addresses the businessmen, and I love this message, and I'm going to take the message he gives to KZN for myself as well. And he reminds them, do you remember in 2021 where you had the riots and there was an uprising and it was violent and you thought it was all over, the system was collapsing? Didn't collapse. You managed that mostly by your own effort and communities coming together, and you turned it around. You now have better infrastructure in place to stop something like that happening in the future. Then in 22, you had these devastating floods which destroyed your beautiful city of Durban. It wasn't the end. You rebuilt that by yourselves also, and you're still the second largest economy in the country. So that is who you are. You have that resilience, and that is who you are. And I think it's a message of resilience and active positivism rather than just passive hope that sits well with me. And Mike Sham, the host of the podcast, listened to Cournier, and he summed it up like this. Dr. Franz Cournier has painted a positive picture. A foundation has been laid for a better future if we just keep on making some sensible decisions. He concludes, HLI, with this. We are at an inflection point. After many years of unsuccessfully trying to kill each other, it's starting to look more and more likely like we actually might start working together. Viva. And that was the podcast report.
Thank you very much. I think I very much feel the difficulty of spreading the good vibes when things are not great in many ways. There are many sure. things that are, as you know, your conversation with the car guard really alluded to. And yet, I am optimistic. I'm more optimistic than I've been for a long time. I think the height of my pessimism about SA probably was in about 2019, 2020, when I was very worried about how things were going to go. And I feel like there's a sort of intellectual logjam in our country that is starting to break up, and it's breaking up too slowly, and we're going to have to wait quite a while before we actually see the real sort of movement on this one. You know, maybe it'll be 2029, maybe it'll be further than that, maybe it'll be sometime in the 2030s. But I do think that finally we are sort of moving in the right direction, and I think it seems like a lot of the other podcasters and analysts out there seem to be feeling the same way, especially France. A lot of things wrong in South Africa, and as we know, there are many Tsotsis in government, as the Matlango Commission is making very plain. And yet, I think, we do still have this remarkably free society, which is quite amazing. Sure. We it shouldn't, like on paper, you wouldn't guess it, but actually we are. And I think that that is one of our great strengths that will enable us to achieve things going forward.
I agree. So freedom is great and important, and it fosters growth also. But if you have, okay, so I'm giving you the same question I gave the Coal Guard and everyone. Nicholas, good vibes message for the country, a hopeful message for the country from the Daily French Show. What would it be?
It would be that we South Africans really do have the ability to actually, I think, change our fortunes in a very big way. And I think we're starting to do that, even if we're being too slow about it. I think that every day South Africans engage in remarkable feats of cooperation and innovation. And I think that the future, you know, there are many things wrong right now, the developed world. I think there's many things wrong in the alternatives, places like China. And I think South Africa has a brilliant opportunity to escape many of the pitfalls that have befallen other countries. There's still so much potential in this country that is untapped that I think we can move towards tapping. And the only way that's going to happen is if we, as a collective, although, you know, not that I'm super keen on collectives, but you know what I mean. if we as citizens actually take responsibility, stand up and do what's right. And, you know, France is completely right. If we make the right choices now, it won't even be that long until we start to see some of the fruits of them.
Sure. So what I take from your message that I'm taking with me, freedom, resilience, and the capacity to cooperate. So that is sort of fits in with my liberal point of view, so I'm going to take that with me if I may.
Exactly. I mean, unlike many other countries that are in similar situations as us, we're not going to have to shoot our way out of this problem if we make the right choices. We have a free media where, you know, we can go on this podcast and trash the government every single day, and I have absolutely no fear that, you know, men with batons and guns are going to bash down my door and drag me away. Our elections, as many problems as they are still relatively free and fair, pretty effective at actually enacting political change when people use their votes. And those are enormous things that, you know, that's not just, you can't just hand wave away those benefits. Those are real benefits.
Sure. Thank you very much. And thank you for the opportunity to share my observations across the podcast.
Indeed. Thank you very much, Viv. And everyone, have a wonderful Christmas break. We'll see you all next year. Bye-bye.